Okay. Welcome everybody and to our regular scheduled meeting of the Village Board, Monday, April 27th, if I can ask the clerk to take the roll call.
Trustee Cascatello?
Present.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
President Aducci?
Here. Okay, can I ask everyone to please stand? The Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Luke, do you mind? Just so we know. Yeah, it's JD. Hey, John. You want to talk? Thanks, John. Yeah.
Can I be the first one to just turn on?
Here's a, yeah, you're the first one and only one. So that's even luckier. Okay.
Yes. Hi, I'm John Dzuriak, and I used to be in this room quite a bit on a Friday night with Boy Scouts, but times have changed and people have moved on. But thanks all. Thank you all for what you've done for River Forest to make us what we are today. I suspect many of you may know that River Forest has a World War I memorial. Well, if you didn't, it's been here since 1923 and it's located at Roosevelt School. And it's going to be open this coming Memorial Day for the second time in probably 100 years on a Memorial Day. But we're going to have it open Monday, May the 25th, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock. Historic Memorial Hall is located at 7560 Oak Avenue, and that entrance is immediately north of what is the Circle Drive for the Roosevelt entrance. Memorial Hall originally was consisted of a large hall with a stage. There was a kitchen at one time, and then there was the entrance lobby. And the entrance lobby is where this memorial room is located. And it honors the local veterans that served in World War I. In Memorial Hall, there are three bronze plaques that are installed on these limestone lobby walls. Two of the plaques list the 252 local veterans and people that served in World War I. But the plaque that's in the middle has a diagram of soldiers on it that are, you know, they're trying to depict that these soldiers are going off to war. And below that diagram is this inscription. And it says, to commemorate the past, to serve the present, to inspire the future, to honor those who served our country. In 2010, an Eagle Scout from the troop that used to meet in this room, Nicholas Travalis, he researched all those people. And he compiled a directory that listed all those individuals with information about individual information about each one of those people. Some were from Oak Park, some were from River Forest, a few were from Forest Park. So now there is also he compiled quite a bit of information, and now there's also we put together an address directory of where these veterans lived. And if you were to go through that directory, you might find that you're living in a World War I veteran's house. One of the things, though, about River Forest, in 1928, the address has changed. And this room opened in 1920, it was dedicated in 1923. But nonetheless, we have to do a little bit of backtracking to figure out the exact address. And Nicholas pretty much did that. But there could be a little bit of confusion and incorrections about the exact addresses. But nonetheless, we know where most of these folks lived if they lived in River Forest, and we have their addresses in this directory we put together. Nicholas now, he used to live right here in River Forest. He's a doctor, as well as obviously an Eagle Scout. He's in his second year of residency at the Rehabilitation Institute of Michigan in Detroit. Some new research has been done about the artist and the sculptor that did that middle panel. And we've learned that her name was Anna Mary Meyer Tilden. And she initially lived in Oak Park when she was a student at Oak Park River Forest High School. She was a member of the Oak Park Art League at one time. She studied and she taught at the Chicago Art Institute. And then she worked with a sculptor named Laredo Taft. And just by chance, she lived across the street from Ernest Hemingway on Kenilworth. And that was a 600 block of Kenilworth. And that was Ernest Hemingway's youth, his home where he lived when he was a little boy. She was about 5 years older than Ernest. So she, I assume she probably knew him, but nonetheless, it was just an interesting coincidence that she lived right across from him. After she got married, she built a house on Clinton here in River Forest. And unfortunately, as the case always probably is for most of us, she's, and not necessarily this situation, but she's buried at Forest Home Cemetery over in Forest Park. So please come by to visit, honor, and to learn more about some of the local veterans of World War I that helped make our 250th celebration of freedom possible. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, John.
And I passed out some invitations. Yep. I'll leave more on the back if you want to have one.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Make sure we get that in a newsletter too. Okay, thanks, Sean. All right, that's all for citizens' comments. So we're on to elected officials and comments and announcements. I'll maybe start with Trustee Bachner, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And that's all for me today.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Erica. Lisa?
Sure. I have more news about our Memorial Day celebration. It's hot off the presses. I do have a connection to Kiwanis that many of you might know my husband, but he told me I could tell you that we do have our parade grand marshal. He's a local River Forest man who's 100 years old. He's a veteran of World War II, and he served in the U.S. Army.
Yeah, he's in great health.
Oh,
yeah, he still drives.
Yeah,
he still drives. Yes, so okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Russ?
Good evening. No other comments.
Okay, thanks. Rosa?
I have nothing. I just wanted to thank John for his research and dedication to the history of the village. That's all I have to say.
Thanks. Megan?
I'll echo that as well. I'm very excited to see how our Memorial Day celebrations turn out, and I'm excited that everyone is putting so much good work into it. It's great to hear about our Grand Marshal and Roosevelt School being open that day. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to remind everyone that the new budget is on the website. And again, team did a great job with it. And I think there's some really riveting information in there that should make our residents feel really good about where we are and where we're going. So again, thanks to Matt and the staff for all you do and getting that out. And again, I encourage people to take a look at that.
We'll approve it tonight. I have nothing to add. The only thing I want to is, can we like memorialize a lot of what John talked about with our Historic Preservation Commission? I know they focus on homes, but it sounds like there's a few interesting people that lived here. I don't know.
I can add quickly.
Yeah.
Of those 200 and some names, some of them are pretty familiar to our community, like the Winslow.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 250 people. I can't get information about all of them, but we're trying to find and learn about some of the people that have been in this community for a long time.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a thought. Maybe bring it up to
Absolutely. We can discuss with that. I know part of the reason some of the homes in town are deemed significant are because of who lived there rather than just the architecture. So there may be some overlap there with the list or an opportunity to add others to our significant property list.
90s, to have it open board just once a year for the public, but we're making baby steps, but we're trying to make it more.
The new superintendent.
We'll learn about it and see what's there.
There will be a new superintendent, I think, in July, Megan. Am I right? So that might be a new time to.
We'll talk to the new veterans organization here in town.
Yes. Great idea.
And they'll be in a
an open house with her on May the 18th, 7 to 8. So probably be a good opportunity to raise it with her. So,
oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, a meet and greet.
And that will be at Roosevelt.
Right. Okay. I have nothing else to add. So it brings us on to our consent agenda. So unless anybody has any other issues, I'd like to get a motion to approve our consent agenda A through G.
I'd like to just abstain from G since I wasn't at that meeting.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll move that off and then, or you can abstain it, I guess. That's the best way.
It can be noted.
Yeah.
Wants to abstain from that. And then the clerk can recognize that. And then trustee doctor can still vote aye. And that can show for the minutes that she's abstaining.
Okay. Yes. Very good. Sounds good. Wait, I need a motion in a second.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through G.
Second.
Any other questions or comments on these items? Hearing none, ask the clerk to read out loud each item and then take the vote.
Okay. Item 5A, proclamation in recognition of Arbor Day. B, proclamation in recognition of Compost Awareness Week. C, consideration of 2026 and 2027 compensation plan for approval. D, purchase approval, public works pickup truck and plow installation, Sutton Ford and regional truck equipment, $63,000. E, administration department report. F, monthly department reports. G, village board of trustees meeting minutes, April 13th, 2026, with trustee Bachner abstaining from item G.
Okay.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Okay. So the other item on our agenda is new business, is the consideration of the fiscal year 2027 operating budget. So I'll need a motion and a second to approve the budget. And then we can discuss it further. Can I get a motion?
Motion to approve ordinance adopting the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing on the first day of May 2026 and ending on the 30th day of April 2027 for the Village of River Forest, Illinois.
Second.
Very good. Thanks. I know both Rosie and Matt did a very good job of giving an explanation of the full budget. If there's any further questions that you might have, this is a good time to ask. Otherwise, we'll take the vote on it. Okay, so let's take a vote.
Okay. All right. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, well, that ends our...
Hey, yeah. If I could, I just saw a note that Matt sent out. Just a reminder to our residents that we go on our summer schedule starting next month.
Mm.
So our meeting dates will only be once a month, May 11th, June 22nd, July 20th, and August 17th.
Yeah, and it's on the website too. Yeah. Thanks for the reminder. Mm. Okay, thank you. So we'll adjourn and go into executive session. If I can get a motion to adjourn to executive session.
Move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C1 to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the village, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
Go into executive session. Do I get a moment?
Do I need to do a roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
And President Ducey?
Yes, of course. Okay. That ends our regular meeting. Thanks, guys. Rosie, you're going to stay, right? No? Rosie, you stay?
No, we don't.
Okay.
You run while you can, Riz.
You have a cone to the.
Yeah.
You're like, what? Yeah, exactly. So
you're not welcome. Did he go to that wedding already?
Yeah, he did. Wow. Yeah, he just got back yesterday.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he was telling me about it.
Oh, I bet it was pretty awesome.
3 days of very normal events.
Yeah.
He did a traditional dance.
Oh, really?
Put it up on the clipboard.
Yeah, I want to see it. I was just asking Luke if you just got back from. Yeah, I want to hear all about it. Yeah.
All excited.
Unscathed, too. All right, so we're in executive session. I asked the clerk to take the roll call. Please.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Cascatello?
Here.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
And President Ducey?
I'm here. And then...
Also here, Village Administrator Matt Walsh, Village Attorney Lance Molina, Assistant Village Administrator Jessica Spencer, Deputy Clerk Luke Masella, and HR Manager Trish Ivansek.
So we are here tonight to hear about your journey to replace, I think, both Kiki and Rosie due to retirement, mm-hmm. not performance. So, right.
Director McAdams will be retiring at the end of November. The exact date is still a little bit flexible based on what we work out and how this transition is working. Typically, the assistant finance director would be a good candidate to rise up into that position, but Kiki Boyer, the assistant finance director, is also retiring at that same timeline. So we've been preparing for some time to go out for that position. Our intent is to post for the finance director position in May, 6 months before Rosie retires, with the idea of having some overlap in that position. The compensation rate, especially the one that you just approved, is very competitive for this position in comparison to others. So I think it will be an attractive position. We've begun to work on some candidates internally to kind of rise up and take more responsibility. It's not our intent to hire the assistant finance director immediately. We'd like the incoming finance director to have some say in that position, but recognizing that we don't want anything to fall through the cracks, we're kind of addressing some of the procedural issues and cross-training employees. That's begun several months ago to take over some of the responsibilities that those individuals had. That we're responsible for. And the intent would be to overlap the incoming candidate with Rosie for a certain amount of time. We don't want it to be too long. That's tough to manage, but there's a lot of detail and a lot of things that go into that position, of course. So we'd like to pass on that information to the incoming director.
Matt, for reference, can you go over high level the kinds of things that are being cross-trained with individuals on our current staff and the titles of the people right now?
Sure. Sure. So we have an administrative assistant over payroll. Adriana Holgan is in that position. We've got administrative or customer service representative Megan Keller, who works primarily at the front desk. We also have another customer service representative who helps with accounts payable, Yanine Cano, and our utility billing clerk, Kathy Kasperzik, who and our permit clerk position, which is currently being filled. We're looking at internal and external candidates for that position. So those positions are all learning different pieces of what Rosie and Kiki do, and learning to balance that work. Does that
what kinds of things are they functions potentially picking up? Yeah,
sure. Primarily payroll function is something that Assistant Director Kiki Boyer directly oversees. So we're kind of creating some levels. We're taking a look at it with our new human resources module and looking at our process, how we pay. So we're kind of doing an internal process audit or review of that too. We think there are some inefficiencies there. So we're trying to address that. So that's the primary. A lot of the larger roles and responsibilities they have, those candidates wouldn't be the ones to fill it. But there's potential for Seth to fill in on some of the budget and the admin team that's in the room here to fit in some of the other more administrative production communications pieces.
Okay. Thanks.
So we're going out in May, which is next month, mm-hmm. And we're using a firm or what are you guys doing? Going to conferences to networking?
So it's our intent to run the search ourselves, to not hire a firm to do it. I think in a lot of cases that's not worth its while. We're primarily looking at ILCMA and GFOA that are professional organizations. We've been attending those, and Rosie and Kiki have been too, to let people know that they're retirement's upcoming and to stay tuned for that event. So they've already identified some folks that we'll send directly the information directly to. And May is generally a pretty good time for posting in local government. A lot of this is an election year, but there's a lot of people looking for new positions after budget, and that's kind of where a lot of turnover happens and when people look at it. So we think that this would be it will be a good time for that. Yep.
So do you think three months is enough, or?
Yeah, I think I think by the end of summer, they have a candidate selected and determine what that date is. I think that's a reasonable expectation. Because hopefully the incoming person is in a position where they have to put in, you know, more than the typical 2 weeks. They're hopefully a leader in their organization and they want to respect where they're leaving. So they'll want to probably maybe give up to a month. So we've got some flexibility there to work with them on that.
And you're posting publicly the salary range?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would you mind sending around, if I don't think you have yet, but the job description and all of that?
Yeah, we can do that.
In case we mm-hmm. know people.
Yeah, sure. No.
So Matt, with the associations, you gave some acronyms, ILCMA and GFOA. I'm not familiar with them, yep. But they seem to be professional organizations in that field. I'm assuming that they have job banks. Are we also going through their job banks, or is it just word of mouth between people that Kiki and Rosie know in those organizations?
Well, going through their job banks, they also have kind of a repository of folks that are in transition, and they will kind of help share that directly with people that are looking for work. But ILCMA is the Illinois City County Management Association, and GFOA is it's the Illinois Government Finance Officers Association. So naturally that's a little more focused directly on finance, but managers and other folks in the field would be on the ILCMA side. That's where a lot of postings in our field, that's primarily where people will look.
So is that the heavy focus for our search, is those two associations?
It is. Yeah, I think that in this position, a lot of positions having that public sector background is helpful, but with finance, especially fund accounting, is different than other forms of accounting. Having someone with public sector background would be appealing, and those are the main sources where folks will come through. But LinkedIn and other things can capture candidates that aren't necessarily looking in that venue.
Yeah, I was curious. You're hitting on what I'm curious about, which is Are there some benefits to looking at candidates who aren't necessarily already in municipal government, who have a different, bring a different fresh set of eyes or mindset to the role?
Yes, I don't want to rule anybody out. I think it's helpful to have public background, somewhat biased by that, but understanding tax levies and public customer service and things like that is different. But that doesn't mean that it necessarily has to be another suburb. It can be another, an Oak Park filled their position with someone who worked in a transit agency. There's other, a lot of levels, a lot of government agencies in Illinois, so we can, happy to pull from any. Or if there are coming from a private firm that worked on public set, public on consulting, or has, you know, gone back and forth over their career, or is only private, that they're, I wouldn't rule them out, but mm-hmm. it would take a little bit more vetting.
And is our only way to access or interface with those types of people, would that be LinkedIn, or are there other outreach that we are making?
We typically don't use the like national job boards. We have used the Indeeds and others, but frankly, you get a lot of automated responses and things that aren't very promising. So I can think about that a little bit more.
I think the national one might draw, obviously, outside of Illinois, right? So that might be good and bad, right?
Yeah. And I do think posting on our LinkedIn page.
You got it. Yeah.
Need the recording for this.
Thank you. Yeah.
Posting on our LinkedIn page, then people can share it with their own groups of people. And I think, you know, that's a good way to get it out there past our own public sector people. Right. So.
I mean, good options. And I think also, I mean, not that I'm saying anything's going to not work, but I'm guessing it will all work. But if it doesn't, I mean, you know, Rosie does live here. She lives in River Forest, and I'm sure she'll provide us with more time if we were to ask for it. So that's the good news. But
prefer not. She hasn't written that down.
Yeah, I know.
She has stated that as much. We don't want to take advantage or push our luck with it.
No.
But correct. If we're talking of a couple of weeks or questions after that, yeah.
A couple of years, we're looking.
Got off the water.
I mean, I'm hoping for all good stuff.
So again, what the timing is that you hope to have an acceptance of an offer by the end of the summer?
Right around then.
Okay. So then rolling back from that date, we hope to have an offer out by when, like July? And that would that the authorization to extend that offer come from this board? So we would hope to receive a request to authorize an offer by June or July?
The appointment is subject to board review. In terms of the offer, the practice has been just myself authorizing that, but the actual appointment will come from, since it's that position and serves as the treasurer, that is technically Kathy's appointment.
Okay, so it's not going to come to the board then?
Well, we'll come through.
To vote on the appointment will come to the village board, correct.
But yes. Not the person. Is that what Katie said?
So the offer will be, the decision to make an offer will be made at the staff level with Kathy. The offer will be offered, perhaps the person will accept it, and then that will be approved by the board?
Correct.
Gotcha.
So in terms of timing, if we miss it for whatever reason for the July, is there any issues with then like having to wait till August or?
No, I don't think so. In terms of the summer board meeting schedule, no. I think a lot of can be handled.
I think indirectly, maybe Erica's asking, what if the candidate that you want is saying, no, I have another offer and I need to know by 2 weeks, which is the beginning of August, hypothetically. Then technically, you would probably ask for an emergency something.
That's certainly an option. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, if it was something we really wanted, we would have to fill in for a special board meeting.
If they couldn't wait till the August.
Correct.
Yeah. Not our first time.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, great questions. Thanks. It's an important position.
Yeah.
So, and we'll keep everyone informed for sure. It's the hope. All right. Really good.
Anything else for Matt or Trish? All right, then I'd ask for a motion to adjourn executive session.
Motion to adjourn executive session.
Second.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yeah.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
And President Ducey?